Okay, this evening is the second of our pre-Pesach shiurim, really just a couple of days away, and I'm just broadcasting here from a somewhat quieter part of the house. I should mention as a disclaimer, this background behind me, which has a bridge and a large expanse of water, that's a virtual background. It is not a place that I've been exiled to while my wife kashers the kitchen. But at any rate, we resume our deliberations with regards to Inyanei Leil HaSeder. At the center of Seder night, one may say, the jewel in the crown of the evening is the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, to relate the story of the Exodus from Egypt. And it's one of the Tariq mitzvos, one of the 613. Famously, of course, it is not prefaced with a bracha, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvos of Tzivanu l'saper b'tzias Mitzrayim. There is much discussion about that, as we have indeed ourselves discussed in the past, but it is one of the Tariq mitzvahs, it's one of the two d'oraisas that we have nowadays. That is to say, the Kazayas of Matzah and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everything else is d'rabbanan. In Beis HaMikdash times, many more things are d'oraisa. And as a source for a mitzvah in the Torah, we, of course, open by asking, what is its source in the Torah? Every mitzvah of Tariq has a pasuk. Well, the source for this mitzvah actually is mentioned a number of times over the course of the evening in the Haggadah. It's from the end of Parshas Bo, and that is the famous V'higadeta Levincha Bayom Ahu Leimor, to tell him the whole thing, Bavorzeh, Asa Hashem Li Betzesi Mimitzrayim. And as the Haggadah goes through, Yom Ahu is Seder night, Bavorzeh is the time in Matzah or Maror, Munachin Lefanecha. So this is identified as the source for the mitzvah. But now we need to try and explore and discover what exactly is contained within this mitzvah. What are its parameters? What are its guidelines? What are its component parts? What are its elements in this story? And the question is accentuated when we ask, what exactly are we doing on Seder night? What do we need to do to fulfill this mitzvah? The question is sharpened when we consider that on a certain level, there is a mitzvah to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim every night. And this is discussed in the Mishnah, in the end of the first parak of Brachos, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. And this is also mentioned in the Haggadah, Omer Belazar ben Azariah. He's given Shivim Shana. He was never able to persuade or convince the Chachamim. But in the end, the halacha is that we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night as well, which means that there's a mitzvah to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim every night. And then comes Seder night, and there's a special mitzvah to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But if we already have one, the general mitzvah, what is added by this additional mitzvah? We are moved to ask, Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylo. So how is the mitzvah different on this night than it is on every other night? And the one who will guide us in uncovering answers to this question will be the Rambam. And of course, we try and read as carefully as we can. And the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, says as follows. Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah. It is a Torah mitzvah, Torah level obligation, L'saper benissim v'niflos, Shenasu l'avaseinu b'mitzrayim, to tell of the miracles and wonders that were done to our forefathers in Egypt, B'leil Chamish Asa b'Nisan, on the 15th of Nisan, Shene'emar, as it says, Zachor es hayom hazeh asher yitzaseh mimitzrayim. Remember the day that you left Mitzrayim. That's a pasuk from the end of Parshas Bo as well. We'll come back to that. Kemo shene'emar, as it says, Zachor es yom hashabbos. We equate the two zachors, and that's the mitzvah. And then how do we know that it's the 15th? So the Rambam brings V'gadat Levincha, Ba'avur Zeh, B'shar Shish Matzvah U'Maror Munachim Lefanecha. We will yet come back to the Rambam, but already at this stage, we can begin to answer our question, what are the unique features, what are the special components of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Well, the first thing we note, the Rambam says, is mitzvah saseh lesaper, to tell the story. As if to say, should we ask, do we not talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim every night of the year? We do. We mention it in order to remember it, but we don't really elaborate on it. We don't tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We mention it as a fact, and we need to every night. Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim, and so on. But that may be the mitzvah on a nightly basis, but when it comes to Seder night, the mitzvah is lesaper. Kol amar belesaper, the better it is, but to tell the story from beginning to end with the relevant parts. And indeed, according to numerous Meforshim, the Nesivos HaMishpat and the Maaseh Nisim, and the Aruch HaShulchan in the Leil Shimurim, it is for this very reason that the Haggadah includes Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's discussion about mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim every night. And what's that got to do with Seder night? It's relevant every night. But that's exactly the point. It is pushing the idea that if there is a mitzvah every night, there must be something more on this night. And indeed, the more is lesaper, to tell the story. And in fact, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah says, the way he presented initially, a person should tell the story in his own words. Kefi tzachos l'shono. We are generally guided by the Haggadah, and it's possible for the two to meet. The raw materials are in the Haggadah, a person can elaborate, etc. But that is the first answer to the question. Again, should we ask what is special about the mitzvah on Seder night that we don't have every night of the year? Every night is Zecher Lema'an Tizkor, to remember, but the mitzvah on Seder night is Lisaper. A second distinctive feature that is noted by the Mefarshim is that the Rambam doesn't say there's a mitzvah to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He says there's a mitzvah to tell the story of the Nisim and Niflaos, of the miracles and wonders that Hashem, that were done for our forefathers on this night. B'Nisim v'Niflaos. Now, why is the Rambam highlighting this? Apparently, this too is one of the distinctive features of the evening. And it's interesting because, again, we read the Haggadah, so whatever's in the Haggadah, that's what we read. But one could have perhaps focused more on the freedom element, from slavery to freedom. Slavery to freedom can go in many ways. It doesn't have to take a miraculous path. We are no more free as a result of miracles than had we been freed through some more natural means. And still, says the Rambam, but the mitzvah is to tell the story of the miraculous nature of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And why? Because there's an aspect of Yetzias Mitzrayim that is meant to set us up as a nation in terms of our relationship with Hashem, our faith, our emunah in Hashem as creator of the world, which was really established for us, or re-established, when we see him controlling the world and manipulating the force of nature. Hashem emerges, as Moshe says so many times, he's talking to Paro, but we need to listen as much as Paro did, probably more. Hashem says, Leman teda, ke'en ka'ashem elokeinu, ke'en kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. And therefore, it's specifically the miraculous nature of Yetzias Mitzrayim that plays a primary and formative role in what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about, because we recognize and absorb an awareness of Hashem as creator of the world, and thus embark on our relationship with him as such. So the miracles are key. When we get to that point in the Haggadah, when we start to talk about the Osos Umofsim and the Eser Makos, The Rambam is telling us that is a core part of the mitzvah to be mindful of those miracles and what it is that they imparted to us in terms of our awareness of Hashem. Now, we should note that as much as we opened our remarks by saying or identifying the source of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Seder night is the pasuk V'igadata Levincha, as the Haggadah itself seems to do. But when we started to read from the Rambam, we saw that the Rambam cites a different verse, also from the end of Parshas Bo, the verse of Zachor Esayom Azeh Asher Yetzasim Mitzrayim. So that's very interesting. He will, in time, mention V'higadata Levincha as well. We read from Pasuk, from Halacha Aleph, where the Rambam quotes the verse of Zachor. In Halacha Beis, Rambam says, Mitzvah lo di labanim, it's a mitzvah to tell his sons, Vafilu lo sha'alu, even as they didn't ask, Shenemar, V'higadata Levincha. So, in Halacha Beis, the Rambam will get to V'higadata. But it turns out that the Rambam has identified two separate psukim for the same mitzvah. Zochor at the end of Parshas Bo, and V'higadata Levincha at the end of Parshas Bo. Now, this is not the Rambam's own idea. If we look in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Positive Mitzvah Kuf Nun Zayin, the Rambam cites all of this, these two psukim, Zochor and V'higadata, from the Michilta of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So he adopts the position of the Michilta of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and codifies it as such. But the question we need to ask is, why have two psukim for the same mitzvah? Well, the answer to this also is mentioned in the Michilta cited by the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs. Each pasuk tells me something that I wouldn't otherwise know. After all, says the Michilta, there is a special fulfillment of this mitzvah is a perfect person to tell the story to his children. V'higadata Levincha. I need the pasuk of V'higadata Levincha to tell me that it specifically should go from father to son. If I didn't have V'higadata, I wouldn't know that. So I need V'higadata. But the question is, well, why do I need the other pasuk? Says the Michilta, very simply. What if a person doesn't have a son? Or what if a person's son isn't there? And he's still conducting the Seder. He might be talking to someone else. Or what if he's by himself? Says the Michilta, in all of these cases, he still has a mitzvah. From where? Enter the second pasuk, Zachor Esayom Hazeh Asher Yitzasim Mitzrayim, which doesn't talk about saying it to anyone specifically. A person needs to tell the story for themselves, to anyone else who's there, or even to themselves if no one else is there. And thus we have two tributaries to this mitzvah. V'higadata Levincha is the special branch, shall we say, for a person to tell his son, if applicable, if present. And for all other circumstances, we fall back to Zachor, Esayom Asher Yitzasim Mitzrayim. And that is why, says the Rambam, we have two sources in the Torah for this mitzvah. The Rambam is not agreed upon by all we show him. If you look in Rashi, in the end of Parshas Bo, on the Pasuk of Zachor, Rashi says, we learn from here that we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. And interestingly, Rashi's source for that, enlisting Zachor for the daily remembering, is also the Michilta. It's just a different Michilta. It's the Michilta of Rabbi Yishmael. So now, the question between Rashi and Rambam as to whether Zachor is a source for the special mitzvah on Seder night as per Rambam, or the daily mitzvah as per Rashi, is actually a battle of the Michiltas, really, Michilta of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and the Michilta of Rabbi Yishmael. We won't get too much into those details there. We return, for our purposes, back to the Rambam, who sees that there are two sources. But as much as there are two sources, says Rav Soloveitchik, and this was a topic that formed the basis of one of his famous Yortzeit Shiurim, Shiurim Lezecher Abba Mori Zal, which would attract so many people, he would take a topic and go into it in depth. Says Rav Soloveitchik, as much as there are two different sources for this mitzvah, they are nevertheless joined. They share the same trunk, and they shed light on each other. From the pasuk of Vihigadata, we learn to the pasuk of Zachor. And what does that mean? It means, as the Rambam began, there's a mitzvah to tell the story, as it says, Zachor es leyom hazeh, all of this in the end of Parshas Bo. Remember, says Rambam, well, how do I know this mitzvah applies on Seder night? Because the pasuk says, Bavur zeh. And Bavur zeh is when Matzah and Morah is in front of you. But Bavur zeh is in the second pasuk. That's in the Vihigadata pasuk. So I now know the timing for Vihigadata Levincha, if the sun is there, but how do I know the timing for Zachor, that it's likewise on Seder night? How can I learn the timing stated in one pasuk to the other? Unless they're joined. Unless there is a cohesion between them. Ultimately, these aren't two mitzvahs. They're two branches of the same mitzvah. The timing of one can be seen as the timing of the other. And the matter goes further, says Rav Soloveitchik. Because the Rambam, again, began by saying there's a mitzvah to tell the story, etc., etc., as it says, Zachor es hayom hazeh. Last we checked, Zachor means to remember. That the remembering and telling the story is not the same thing. L'ma'an tizkor, for the daily mitzvah, is just to mention it. It's just to remember it. So how does Zachor tell me there's a mitzvah to tell the whole story? That too is coming from the pasuk of Vihigadata Levincha. In the same way, Vihigadata Levincha, Bavur zeh asa she'ani b'tzeisi mi'mitzrayim, and you tell the whole story, what's true for Vihigadata is true for Zachor as well. So we see there's a flow of traffic, a flow of communication between these two psukim, because they're two branches of the same mitzvah. And I believe one may say further, the Rambam emphasized, as we noted, that there's a mitzvah to tell of the miracles that took place. But how do we see that? Interestingly, the pasuk of Vihigadata Levincha that we know so well says Vihigadata Levincha bayomohu leimor, and what should you tell your son? Ba'avor zeh osa Hashem li b'tzeisi mi'mitzrayim. This is what Hashem, or for this Hashem did for me when he took me out of Mitzrayim. If we read the pasuk carefully, it's not telling us that you should tell your son, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. You're not meant to tell your son that Hashem took you out. You're meant to tell your son what Hashem did for you when he took you out. For what did he do for us? That's all of the events surrounding the Exodus, the miracles and the makos and so on. Asa Hashem li b'tzeisi mi'mitzrayim. So the asa is the nisim and the flows, as the Rambam says. It turns out, and this is quite an interesting thing to consider, many people, I wonder if one might even say most people on Seder night, when they fulfill the mitzvah of telling the story, it's not because of the pasuk of Vihigadata Levincha. It's because of Zachor. Anyone who doesn't have their son present to tell them, but is still doing the mitzvah, is doing the mitzvah of Zachor, which is one of the sources. And then specifically in the case where a person's son is there, he fulfills the mitzvah of Vihigadata Levincha. And this relates to a very practical question. It's so practical, we might not even realize it's a shaila, because it's just how people conduct themselves during the Seder. And the shaila is as follows. There is a mitzvah that applies to everyone, to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Does that mean that everyone needs to read the Haggadah? We have a notion of the leader of the Seder, the one running the Seder, and he, of course, says the Haggadah, hopefully not too quickly, and also not too slowly. What about everyone else? Are they meant to listen? Are they meant to read along with him? Everyone has the mitzvah. It seems quite clear from the Gemara that the way the Seder was conducted, which means the way it can or should be conducted, is that the leader of the Seder would read and everyone else would listen. It's very, very strongly implicit in the Gemara and explicit in the words of Rishonim, the Ran, and others, In fact, one of the great Rishonim, Rabbeinu Eliyahu of Londres, Rabbeinu Eliyahu of London, who were Baalei HaTosos in London, he is on record as saying that the concept of Shomea Ka'one, as we know, so you could be Motzi, other people, they listen and they fulfill the mitzvah in that way. That's how we do with Kiddush. Everyone has a mitzvah of Kiddush. One person makes Kiddush and everyone is Yotze through them. And there's the mitzvah to read the Megillah. And then Shul, one person reads the Megillah and everyone is Yotze through them, through the mechanism which is called Shomea Ka'one. And so too, says Rabbeinu Eliyahu of London, the way that it works in the Seder is one person reads and everyone else listens. And this is implicit also from another of the great Rishonim of London, Rabbeinu Yehuda of London, who is cited by the Ramah in Hilchos Pesach. And the Ramah says that it's very important that everyone at present understand what is being said at the Haggadah, to the extent that he cites Rabbi Yehuda of London, who would actually translate the Haggadah into the vernacular, which at that time was Old English, I would say, or Middle English, whenever it was, so that his family would understand. And the implication is not that they would repeat after him, but he would say it to them, and then they would hear him. And that's how they fulfilled the mitzvah. But there's a mitzvah for everyone to tell the story. How come just one person tell the story? The answer is, apparently, Shomea Ka'one. It works for Kiddush, it works for Megillah reading, and it works for Haggadah. And this was the practice of the Vilna Gaon, and also the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says this is how the Seder should be done, which is very interesting. Many people might listen and not read and not realize what's happening, which of course they should, because to be Yotze, one has to have in mind to be Yotze. So if a person elects not to read, but rather to listen to the leader, they need to have in mind that the leader is being motzi them. There's just one problem. It's a very interesting question that is raised. Here we are saying there's no reason in the world that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim shouldn't work by being motzi someone any different than Kiddush or Megillah reading. But maybe it should be different. Why? There are a number of poskim and mefarshim who say the idea of Shomea Ka'one, being Yotze through someone, is when you have a mitzvah to say something. There's a mitzvah to say Kiddush. There's a mitzvah to read the Megillah. If there's a mitzvah to say or to read, you can be Yotze through someone. But what if there's a mitzvah to say something to someone else? Can you just listen and through that fulfill your obligation of saying it to someone else? You haven't said anything. And some Mefarshim say no. And by the way, what is a very interesting example of this idea? Duchening. There's a mitzvah for the Kohanim to duchen. Ko sevaruchu es b'nei Yisrael. Birchas Kohanim. What do? They come to duchen, they turn around, and they all say the bracha. So an interesting question to consider. What if one Kohen would say the bracha and be motzi all the other Kohanim in Birchas Kohanim? There's 10 Kohanim there on the duchen. One person says Yivarechacha in response to the chazan, and he's motzi, his fellow Kohanim. They're yotzi through him. Some mefarshim say that can't work. And the reason why is because the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is not for the Kohanim to say something. It's for them to say something to the congregation. Ko sevaruchu es b'nei Yisrael, amor lahem, say it to them. Someone could be motzi you in something you need to say, but they can't be motzi in something that you need to say to someone else. That you have to do yourself. Otherwise it didn't get from you to them. And that's why there are many poskim who say that in Birchas Kohanim, it couldn't work. It's no wonder that all the Kohanim say Birchas Kohanim themselves. I don't think any of them would be silent if they were ready on the duchen. They'll naturally say it by themselves. But some say that it couldn't work. Although, of course, there is the famous minhag of the Kehil of Trieste in Italy, which was stumbled upon by Rabbi Bezalel HaKohen of Vilna, that they actually did have this practice, that one Kohen would say Birchas Kohanim for all the Kohanim and be motzi them. He discovered this because he was a Kohen, and as a visitor, they were mechabed him to duchen on everyone's behalf, which he found quite surprising, and he wrote a whole tshuva about it. So there is that minhag, but many people say that it would be an issue, which means, coming back to our question, if the mitzvah of telling the story comes from the pasuk v'higadata levincha, the pasuk is telling you to say something to someone. It's like duchening. So maybe Shamei Ka'ona doesn't work. Maybe a person needs to say it for themselves. Interesting shaila. But in terms of our discussion, we may offer a simple, and I hope not over simple, answer. And that is, for most of the people present at the Seder, their mitzvah is not v'higadata levincha. Their mitzvah is zachor. If they're not telling it to their child, the other members of the family, their mitzvah is zachor. The mitzvah of zachor, one can be yotzi through Shamei Ka'ona, because you're not meant to tell anyone. It will generally be true that the one who does have the mitzvah of v'higadata levincha is the one who is doing the v'higadating. He's the one who's leading the Seder. So in a sense, it all works out. The one that needs specifically to tell other people is the one who is telling other people. And everyone else who has the mitzvah to tell the story generally, but not to anyone specifically, that's like any other mitzvah that you can be yotze through Shamei Ka'ona. An interesting shaila would be, in Baruch Hashem, there's many, many cases where this would be the shaila. What if you would have three generations at the Seder, whereby perhaps it's now the grandfather who's leading the Seder? So he's telling his children, v'higadata levincha, but they have a mitzvah to tell their children. So they can't just be yotze anymore. There's two tiers now of v'higadata levincha. But once again, it's generally true that in that situation, those middle generation fathers will actually, yes, tell their children. But either way, it's fascinating to see how these very, very practical questions, literally it doesn't get more lemaisa than how do you have to read the Haggadah, or can you listen to someone else, how it's based on hopefully a careful reading of the Rambam, as well as the other relevant sources. So we spoke a little bit about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, its sources, its parameters, its unique features, and its halachic discussions. And from there, let us get back to the Haggadah. And I came across something which I found really captivating. It's in the Haggadah Shalom Rav of Rav Shalom Rosner. And he cites it in the name of Rav Menachem Mendel of Rimonov, one of the great Hasidic masters, Talmud of the Narmili Melech. And it relates to the stage of Yachatz. These are early stages in the Seder. We just finished Karpat, and now we're on to Yachatz. And of course, Yachatz is there in order to break the middle matzah, so that the matzah is, well, the broken piece is important, because matzah is called lechem oni, the bread of poverty. The poor man, if he has bread, he breaks it in half, leaves some for later. And that's something that we do in order to bestow upon the matzah, to put it into the state of lechem oni. And the second half goes for Afikoman, as we know. Rabbi Nachum Mendel of Rimonov says as follows. We have in mind on Seder night that we like to go back to the beginning. As we discussed so many times on Karpas, it reminds us about Yosef and the brothers, the Kesonis Pasim, that's how the whole thing began. Going down to Mitzrayim, from a certain point of view, the matter goes back earlier still. When is the very first time, the very first foreshadowing or mentioning or foretelling of what would become the Golus in Mitzrayim? It's in Parshas Lech Lecha, Bereishis Perek Tesvav. It's the Bris Ben Abisari, the covenant between the pieces. That's when Avram is told, as we know, and we cite it in the Haggadah as well. Yomer Avram, Yadoa Tida, Kigeri Azarocha, Be'eretz Lo Lahem. It all began, and this is a bris, because the relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem is forged in Mitzrayim, not just upon leaving Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim as well. What does a bris do? It brings people together. It's a covenant. And why is it bris bein habesorim? There were those animals, and they were put in, cut in half, and then Avram walks through the pieces, and then you have this flame, which represents Hashem, also walks through the pieces. What's that got to do with the covenant? Says Rashi, it is the way of people who enter into a covenant, that they take one entity, they split it in half, and then they pass through the middle. Why? Because the entity that they've split in half, it is one thing. Even when you split it in half, they're two halves of one. So in between those two halves is a zone of oneness. The unity, it's almost like a bracket of oneness that these two halves have on either side. And that further underscores the connection and the unity of the two who are now entering into a covenant. They enter into that zone, which is, it's almost like it doesn't exist, because between one half and the other, there shouldn't really be anything. If you've created the space between those two halves, it partakes of that unity. And it all began in this Bris Ben Habesorim. That's the very first we hear of what will become Golus Mitzrayim. Says Rav Nachum Mendel, and it's an amazing, again, atmospheric marker for the evening. If you take a matzah and we split it in two, it's reminiscent of the very first time we heard about Golus Mitzrayim, when the relationship was being formed and foretold in the Bris Ben Habesorim. That took one thing, was split into two. And the Yachat is a zecher for the Bris Ben Habesorim. Very wonderful insight there from one of the Hasidic greats. As we move into Maggid, and as we consider the various pieces and parts of Maggid, and we're looking for a flow and connectivity of how these are steps that lead one to the other, we are guided in a very general way. And that is, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Pesachim, gives us some basic guidelines for Maggid. Maschil bignus u'mesayim b'shevach. We begin with the negative, and from there we move to the positive. And that's another way of saying you have to tell the whole story. You can't just start at the end. So we start with gnus, with the shame, the difficult parts, and then we end b'shevach with the positive. The question is, to what do these two terms refer? What is the negative that we start with? And what is the positive that we end with? And here, the Gemara famously records a dispute between Rav and Shmuel, from the very beginning of the Talmud. Rav and Shmuel, generation one of the Amoraim. Shmuel says that, what's the negative? Avadu bayinu, lefara b'mitzrayim. We're slaves. That's negative. And Rav says, pardon me, and that's the negative. And what is the positive? Vayotzeinu, and then Hashem took us out. So the moving from slavery to freedom, me'avdus lecheirus, is starting from gnus and ending with shevach. That's Shmuel. Rav seems to have has a different understanding, seemingly more expansive, and perhaps a slightly more esoteric. According to Rav, you know what the negative they have to start with is? Mitchila ovdi avodah zarah chayav avoseinu. Initially, our forefathers were involved in paganism. And what's the positive? Va'achshav kervonu hamokam la'avodoso. But now, Hashem has drawn us close to His service. So this is the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. We, of course, do both. So immediately after Manishtana, we respond with Avodah Mayinu. But then four or five paragraphs in, we will say Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So we cater for both opinions, which is the way that we do things. Needless to say, it's a little easier to relate to Shmuel's approach, because Shmuel's is about, say, Pesach. It's about Mitzrayim. The beginning is slaves in Mitzrayim, and the end is leaving Mitzrayim. Avodim hayinu v'yotzeinu. It seems to be very apropos of the topic of the night. Rav has expanded things hundreds of years earlier. And what's the beginning? Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah. I mean to say, who is that? Terach, probably. That's the pasuk that we quote. Terach avi Avram. Be'eva hanar yoshva v'seichel mi'olam. You know, it's very important to start at the beginning, but we seem to have come very to the beginning. Almost like the prehistory of our. So why does Rav say this? But many Mefarshim point out that once again, we take so much for granted in the pasuk that we're so familiar with. Vigadata levincha bayomahu lemor. What are you meant to tell your son? So we, in our own words, we synopsize and we say, tell him about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the pasuk says more than that. We've already seen that. Okay, tell him about the events that happened when we left Mitzrayim. It says more than that still. The pasuk doesn't just tell you to relate to your son what Hashem did. It tells you to relate to your son why. The pasuk doesn't say, tell your son, v'igadata levincha b'yomahu, ze os Hashem li. This is what Hashem did. It doesn't say ze os Hashem li. It says ba'avur ze, for this. Part of the mitzvah is to tell him what for. Why was this necessary? And what was its goal? The goal is ba'avur ze. For this, as Rashi says, ba'avur ze, and as we say again in the Seder night, matzah and morah to keep mitzvahs. That's what it's for. Leaving Mitzrayim is not our freedom that we celebrate on Seder night is not a negative freedom, that is to say, defined only by what we're not, slaves to Paro. It's a positive freedom. What are we now? And the answer is, we're Hashem's people. And how is that expressed? Keeping mitzvahs, entering into a relationship with Him. Ba'avur zeh, what's it for? That's also what you have to tell the son. But then you need to say, why did Hashem have to do all these things to get me here? Because originally we were very far away. Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah haya b'seinu. And therefore it was in order to bring us to this stage. Hashem did all those miracles to get us away, to disenfranchise us from avodah zarah, disconnect us from that, and connect us to Him. So it's very interesting to consider, as long as we don't take anything for granted or gloss over any details, from a certain point of view, Rav's view of the negative and the positive, paganism and then to Hashem's people, is explicit in the close reading of the pasuk. Needless to say, Shmuel doesn't have much to explain. I mean, he is the topic of the day. And in the end, the full picture comes out from both Rav and Shmuel. But how is this expressed in the Haggadah? Reb Leib Mintzberg, in the Sefer Ben Melech, in Parshas Bo, points out something quite fascinating. These two aspects of negative and positive, whether we could call it political or national political, being slaves versus free, or national spiritual, paganism versus Lavdil, Hashem's people, these two are not just two ideas, two things that we mentioned. There are two themes that run through Maggid. Each one has its own track. And how can you see that? It's amazing. It's an idea that just opens up now. Two pathways within Maggid. We mentioned before that the mitzvah of telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it doesn't have a bracha before it. We don't, not a formal bracha. That's true. But it does have a couple of very carefully placed baruchs in it. We say baruch on two junctures in Maggid. The first is when we say Baruch HaMokom, Baruch Hu, right? That section, Baruch Shenos and Torah Yisrael. And the second is when we say Baruch Shomer Avtechoso Yisrael. We thank Hashem for keeping His promise of taking us out of Mitzrayim. Very interesting to note. These are the two Baruchs. And what do they represent? Says Rav Mintzberg, when one looks carefully, one can see that these two Baruchs, each one introduce a different theme, which is then taken up and developed in the ensuing paragraphs. It's true that our immediate response to the Manishtana, meaning what is this night all about, is Avodah Bayinu, that paragraph of Shmuel. It's true. But then after we get past the year-long recitation and the rabbis who are in Bnei Brak, etc., we then start on Rav. That it's about our spiritual journey to become Hashem's people. That's what the evening is about. And we open it with the word Baruch. Baruch Shenosan Torah La'am Yisrael. Which is amazing. We thank Hashem for giving us the Torah even before we've fully described Him taking us out of Mitzrayim. Because Baruch Shenosan Torah La'am Yisrael is the Shevach. That's the positive, according to Rav. Va'achshav kervonu ha'mokam la'avodosa. And Rav gets the first fuller treatment. Shmuel gets the first response of Avodah Mayinu, but as things begin to open up and develop, it's really Rav's idea that's developed first, and it starts with Baruch. Baruch HaMokom, Baruch Shanos Antara La'am Yisrael. And where do we see it? Because with that introduces the section of the four sons. And what are the four sons talking about? Mitzvahs. What does the Chacham ask? What's the Eidos in Chukim and Mishpatim? What does the Rosh ask? Maha Voda Zos Lachem. The Tam sees mitzvahs and doesn't know what's happening. And the Ein Yodei Lishol, well, we don't know what he doesn't know because he doesn't say. But the answer to him is Ba'avur Zeh. In other words, the four sons, it's amazing to think about it in this way, are much more focused on the mitzvahs of the evening than they are on the events of Mitzrayim. None of the sons is ever as quoted as saying, how do we get to become the Jewish people? Their questions aren't really recorded about that. They're just saying, what are these mitzvahs? And the answer is, Yetzias Mitzrayim leads us into these mitzvahs. Indeed, that's Rav. It's about Ba'achshav kervonu ha'mokom la'avodosa. That's what the four sons is. Then we start another Baruch. Baruch Shomer Avtechoso Yisrael. Why a new Baruch? Because we're opening up a new pathway now. We're about to embark on a new theme, which is Shmuel's theme. The actual going from slavery in Mitzrayim to freedom in Mitzrayim. And we begin to tell the story. Bispin Abasorim and Seulamad, Aramia Vedavi. And thus you have amazing to see it through these two signposts, these Baruch signposts. Baruch HaMokom gets us on Rav's trail, and Baruch Shem Avtechos Yisrael gets us on Shmuel's trail. In the end of Magid, says of Mintzberg, the two trails will meet. Where do they meet? Where do they merge in Dayenu? As we go through the Malos Tovos Lamakom Aleinu, and we mention those 15 things, at that point we'll start to mix and match. Ilu Hotzionim Mitzrayim, V'Nasalanis Mamonam, all of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but then Ilu Kervanu Lefnei Har Sinai, V'Nasalanis HaTorah, at that point they're all the same language. And there are a succession of steps that are interlaced with each other. So this is the very wonderful analysis, and especially because we know each paragraph for itself. When someone comes and illuminates how one leads into the other, so that is certainly a very special thing. And with regard to this issue of Rav, so we come back to the section of Yochel Mirosh Chodesh, where we say we this is for the Enyo Dei Lishol. So Ad Pesachlo, you tell him V'yigadat to the Mincha Be'yom Ulema. And we start to talk about the timing of the mitzvah. Yochel Mirosh Chodesh, I might have thought already from Rosh Chodesh. So Talmud Lomar, that to that end, the Torah says no. Bayomahu. Okay, when Bayomahu? I might have thought Bibo Yom. No. Bavor Zeh B'Shoshesh Matzah Umor Menachem Lefanecha. But the question that everyone wants to know is, what's behind the thinking of Yochel Mirosh Chodesh? Yochel Mirosh Chodesh means, if I didn't know differently, I might have thought there's a mitzvah to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim already from Rosh Chodesh. Why? It's not Pesach yet. Rosh Chodesh inaugurates the month that Pesach will fall in, but it's not Pesach. And we see that this notion is taken very seriously, that we need to be disavowed of it. The Torah needs to say, no, Bayom Ahu, not from Rosh Chodesh. Apparently, I was right in thinking, or there's merit to thinking that we withdraw from Rosh Chodesh. But based on what? Says the Beis HaLevi, if we understand that Yetzias Mitzrayim ultimately does not exist in a vacuum, it's not that we were slaves in Egypt and we don't know why, and then Hashem took us out and we don't know what to do now. It's absolutely wired into what came beforehand and what came afterwards. There's a purpose to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out to become His people. And how is that expressed? As we've seen, by keeping His mitzvos, performing His will in this world. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is, to establish a relationship. And the relationship, the building blocks of that relationship are mitzvos. But if that's the case, then let us ask a question. When is the first time that we received a mitzvah as a nation? The answer is on Rosh Chodesh. In Parshas Bo, the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, the mitzvahs of Korban Pesach were communicated to us on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. That's very interesting. There's room to say that the relationship, the mitzvah relationship between us and Hashem, which is the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was initiated before we even left, specifically 2 weeks before we left, on Rosh Chodesh. And if that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is ultimately all about, ba'avor zeh, we can well understand, it's a new insight, why Yochel Mirosh Chodesh? I really might have thought we should start talking about it from the time the relationship was initiated, that happened on Rosh Chodesh, our very first mitzvah as a nation. Talmud Lomar, oh, there's room to think that way. There's merit in that thought. But in the end, the Torah says, no, you wait till everything came together. And in fact, even not Miba'od Yom. When it says Bayom Ahu on that day, I might think earlier. Why? Because you bring the Korban Pesach earlier. Once again, we're already making that connection. Maybe one should already tell the story. No, you wait until everything combines. Till the evening, where on the one hand you're eating the Korban Pesach, Makas Bechoris is securing the final release of the Jewish people. But the fact that the Torah had to tell me to wait until that night means one can well understand why one would have thought that one shouldn't wait. And it's because of the ultimate purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I would say one further nekuda, fascinating idea from the Meshech Chochma in Parshas Bo. Because at the end, all the after the Yochels, Yochel this, Yochel this, Yochel this, but in the end, it's got to be on the evening. Ba'avur zeh, b'shar sheish matzah u'maror menachem lefanecha, because those are the two trademarks of Seder night, matzah and maror. Now, of course, we know that when things are as they should be, there are three key components to Seder night: Pesach, Matzah and Maror. So the best way to describe Seder night is B'shar Sheish Pesach Matzah U'Maror Menachem Lefanecha. Now the Haggadah doesn't say that. The Haggadah says B'avor zeh is B'shar Sheish Matzah U'Maror. No mention of Pesach. Now, one might have thought balabatishly that ideally Pesach should be there, but in the interim, we don't have the Korban Pesach, so we don't mention it. So the ideal formulation should be with those three things, but if the first one we don't have, so we just mention the other two, what can you do? But the Meshech Chochmah says no. If Ba'avur Zeh is focusing on the connection with Hashem, our relationship with Hashem, and it's for that reason that he did all of those things. He engineered Yetzias Mitzrayim, Asa Hashem Li, all of those miracles that he did, as the Rambam said, L'sape benistim v'niflos, in order to create a connection that would last. That's where Hashem did all those things. If Hashem was looking to create a connection with us that would last a few days, any way of getting us out of Mitzrayim would have been fine. But this connection has to last for good, through thick and thin, through times of redemption and through times of exile. But what keeps us connected? What made Yetzias Mitzrayim so impactful for us that it stays with us wherever we are? In good times and in difficult times, the answer is all the way that Hashem did it. The Nisim and Niflos means we're connected to Hashem. There's no question about it. And ultimately, if Hashem is prepared to do those miracles for us, we are His people. And the connection is forged. And but where will you see it? You specifically see it, says Meshech Chochmah, at a time when only Matzah and Maror Murachim Lefanecha. When there's no Korban Pesach, because there's no Beis HaMikdash. And where are the Jewish people? Wherever they are, sometimes in difficult situations, in trying situations, in dangerous situations. And what about their relationship with Hashem? Says the Jewish people, we're still connected, wherever we are. We don't have a Korban Pesach, but we have Matzah and Maror. We're still connected. But where did that come about? Because of Asa Hashem Li. It's amazing to think how many seders took place over the years and ages in circumstances that rivaled, if not surpassed, the trying circumstances of Mitzrayim. There was Matzah and Maror, and sometimes neither of them. And all of that is because Asa Hashem Li B'tzeisim Mitzrayim. Wonderful comment of Meshech Chochmah. And every year, as we survey our situation, the issues and difficulties that we have with the other nations of the world, and we're in Matzah and Maror, and we're mindful of that there's no Korban Pesach, that's why we rejuvenate and we reinvigorate our recognition of our connection with Hashem to see us through to the other side. I will mention something caught my eye over Shabbos. It's one word in the Haggadah, but it's expounded upon in a very profound way by the Sefer Emek Bracha, Rabbi Aryeh Pomeranchik, a Talmud of Rabbi Velvel Soloveitchik. In the Bracha at the end, after Maggid, we say, you brought us to eat Matzah and Maror, and then we ask, Kein Hashem Elokeinu, bring us to the place where we'll be able once again to bring V'nocha Shem Min HaZvachim HaPsachim, to bring Korbanos again. That the blood will reach the wall of the Mizbeach, lirotso, with favor. It's a very seemingly flowery or poetic way to refer to the restoration of Korbanos. The blood will reach the wall of the Mizbeach, lirotso. What is behind this? It is noted historically, that there is one korban that people persisted in bringing even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, which can be done if there's a Mizbeach there, and that's the Korban Pesach. And as attention as it does every once in a while, maybe not so often, to be rethinking towards Korbanos, it always gravitates around the Korban Pesach. And there's halachic reasons for this. After all, if everyone's Tomei, so there's only one private Korban that can override the laws of Tumah, and that's the Korban Pesach. Now, Korban Sibur can, but getting a tzibur together is much more unwieldy and difficult to do than any individual as a yochid can bring a korban pesach. But the netziv, in a number of places, said there's more to it than that. Hashem says in the Tochacha that He will destroy the Beis Hamikdash, Vashimoshes Mikdashechem, Velo Ariach Bereach Nichochachem, and I'm no longer interested in the Reach Nichoach, which is the pleasing aroma. That is to say, korbanos will no longer be pleasing to Hashem, even if you bring them. Velo Ariach Bereach Nichoach. So says the pasuk of Michu Kosai. And that is why, says the Netziv, people naturally desisted from bringing korbanos, because the whole end point that the korban is meant to get to, Hashem has already told you, it won't be there. A korban is meant to bring to a state of reach nichoach. That's the hallmark of success. And Hashem has said, it is categorically off the cards. So people desisted. But the korban pesach is our relationship, how it begins. And the words reach nichoach are never said with reference to the korban pesach. And therefore, there's no impediment to bringing a korban pesach by the fact that Hashem says, "Velo ariach bereach nichochachem," and we say, "We're sorry to hear it," but that has nothing to do with the korban pesach. Korban pesach is not for reach nichoach, and that's why people persisted specifically to bring the korban pesach. Says the Emek Brocha, based on this netziv, we hope for the restoration that we are able to bring the korban pesach, but not only the pesach, other korbanos also, minazvachim uminapsachim. Currently, at best, we could only bring a korban pesach, and even that's not l'rotzon, because there's no aspect of reach nichoach. But we're looking forward to a time where not only the korban pesach, not only the psachim, but even the zvachim, yagia dama malkim esbacha l'rotzon, the idea of reach nichoach, the full relationship with Hashem should come back. They should be desirous of the avoda of Bnei Yisrael. So says the Emek Brocha, such insight into this one word of l'rotzon. And I'll finish with a Hasidic vort, and this will have to last us for 2 weeks. Mitz Hashem, we'll meet again in 2 weeks' time. It will take a minute within the context of our shir. I guess you'd call that bottle b'shishim, although when it comes to Pesach, we know those rules don't apply. And in any case, the halacha states that a dover chorif is not bottle anyway. It's a very, very Hasidish. I heard this from our Rav, and he himself is the scion of the Hasidus of Gur. It is said that one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, Reb Hirsch of Liska, he was having his Seder, and the Seder was continuing more or less without incident, until they got to the end. Adir Hu. Mamish, the songs at the end. Adir Hu, Bochur Hu, Godu Hu, Dogel Hu. And at a certain point, Reb Hirsch of Liska broke down in sobbing, and no one knew what happened. But we always think it's Adi Hu. And when he kind of got himself back together, Sir Reb Hirsch says, we're saying Adi Hu Baruch Hu, when we got to Ches, we said Chosid Hu. We just said that Hashem is a Chosid. Chasidim say V'yatzmech Barkune, V'karev Mashiche. They say, let the Geula come in their Kaddish. And now we just said Hashem is a Chosid. So let him say V'yatzmech Barkune, V'karev Mashiche. And then it will happen. Such a chassidische hargosha. But whether we're Sfardim, Ashkenazim, Chassidim, or anything in between, and whether we say V'yatzmech Barkune, everybody wants it and means it. And we hope that this Seder should be the harbinger of Beseris Tova, that Hashem should say V'yatzmech Barkune, V'yom Eletzor Seinu Dai, Ki Meitzei Seinu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Yarenu Niflos, Rishat Beseris Tovas, Yeshua Tzvenachamos, for every individual and for the entire Jewish people, as we should greet the Geula Shelema, B'meheira B'yameinu, Amen, Hakosha B'sameach.